This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Shamla Ganesan and Lim Soo Ann. So on to our second story for the day. It is World Kindness Day today, observed around the world, of course, on November the 13th. So a little bit of Hari Ni Dalam Sejarah. It was first introduced in 1998 by the World Kindness Movement, or WKM. Did you guys know there was a World Kindness Movement?
I did not.
Neither did
I'm very happy today.
So that's a coalition of kindness NGOs. Aww. You know, and the World Kindness Movement is actually a legally registered not-for-profit organization. It has no political, commercial, or religious affiliation. So the formation of the organization was crystallized at a conference in Tokyo back in September 1997, when Japan brought together like-minded kindness organizations from around the world for the first time. I just love this story. And members of the movement include over 27 nations. Sadly, though, Malaysia is not one of those countries.
Well, the World Kindness Movement is now recognized as the peak global body for kindness. And while it's not a governing body, it is a platform for collaboration and sharing. So the coalition's mission is to inspire individuals towards greater kindness by connecting nations to create, well, a kinder world. So back to World Kindness Day. That too is not quite a global movement just yet, although, you know, fingers crossed that we managed to change that.
Yes. But
it is observed in many countries, including in Australia, where the Minister of School Education actually placed World Kindness Day on the national school calendar.
So the purpose of World Kindness Day essentially is to highlight good deeds in the community, focusing on the positive power and the common thread of kindness that binds us. So what exactly is kindness? Psychology Today defines it as the quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. So words like affection, gentleness, warmth, concern, these are all associated with kindness. And kindness does have some connotations of meaning someone is naive or weak, but I don't really think that's the case. Being kind requires courage and strength, and kindness is definitely a valuable interpersonal skill.
Definitely, very, very highly, you know, regarded in any organization. And you've heard about the survival of the fittest and Darwin. So survival of the fittest is usually associated with selfishness, meaning that to survive, a basic instinct, it means to look out for yourself. But Darwin, who studied human evolution, actually didn't see mankind as being biologically competitive or self-interested. He believed that we are profoundly social and caring species. He argued that sympathy and caring for others is instinctual. And current research actually supports this idea. Science has now shown that devoting resources to others rather than having more and more for yourself actually brings about lasting well-being. And kindness has been found by researchers to be the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage. And many colleges, including Harvard, are now emphasizing kindness on applications for admission.
So Dasha Keltner, a professor of psychology and founding faculty member, faculty director of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley, did delve deeper into this Darwin's idea that sympathy is one of the strongest human instincts. So he believes it's something stronger than self-interest. Here's a clip of him discussing this, taken from Fig One, which is a YouTube channel which explores new ideas and research out of the University of California.
One of the hardest questions when you think about the evolution of the human species from the standard framework of evolution, which really is about individual survival, competing, getting your genes to the next generation. One of the hardest questions within that framework is, why are people so frequently and routinely good and generous and sacrificing, right? And, you know, most people think that Darwin had this idea of survival of the fittest, that really it's the most ruthless and bloodthirsty who really thrive and survive. That is not Darwin's view of human evolution at all. He really felt that sympathy is the strongest instinct that humans have. Communities that have the most sympathetic members will flourish and raise the greatest number of offspring. That notion of Darwin's led to this sense that out of the vulnerability of our offspring emerged, first of all, social structures like cooperative caregiving, and then also physiological systems shaped by evolution to help us take care of the carriers of our genes, our offspring. We have learned from neuroscience down at UCLA that if you feel physical pain, a part of your brain lights up. And if I see you have that physical pain, the same part of my brain lights up. It's as if we're wired to have the same experience of other people. Empathy is this really complicated task. It really engages the frontal lobes, these newer regions of the cortex that are involved in more complex symbolic processes like language and imagining the future. Because empathy requires that you think there's someone else out there who has feelings and thoughts that may be different from mine. That's a really complicated cognitive achievement. In my lab, the Berkeley Social Interaction Lab, we showed images of prototypical suffering to our participants. They trigger massively powerful reactions of compassion, and what we found in the brain is that a very old part of the brain called the periaqueductal gray, which is common to mammals when they take care of things, lights up when you feel compassion. So that tells us compassion is really old in the nervous system, as Darwin speculated. My students and I got really interested in social class. What does it do to the human mind? Our lab and other labs are interested in something called the vagus nerve. It's the longest bundle of nerves in the human nervous system. In our research, compassion, the feeling of caring for someone in need, activates the vagus nerve. Lower class individuals, if we show them images of suffering, they have a vagus nerve response. You don't see that in upper class individuals. It literally is a compassion deficit that's produced by lots of wealth. Next set of studies on charity, who gives? Economic analyses would say, if I have a lot of money, it should be easy to give. If I have 900 bucks in my bank account, giving away money, it really matters. You know, it matters what you put in your fridge. And in spite of that, what we find is lower class individuals give more, and this is replicated in studies of philanthropy. You know, one of the things that this science tells us is there is enormous strength in these poorer communities of generosity and empathy that, you know, many people in more privileged circumstances miss. It's strong community. 60% of what we do is really about maximizing an individual's personal gratification and desire, just the classic survival of the most competitive. But 40% of the time, we're really doing things for other people. And we sacrifice and we risk exploitation and we still do it. And not only that, but it actually becomes personally fulfilling and inspiring to engage in that work. We find these secondary delights in acting on behalf of others. And I think that it really requires that we have to redefine human self-interest. You know, the great ethical traditions have always been encouraging this. And now we're seeing the science say, yeah, the brain really cares about other people.
So that was Dacia Keltner, a professor of psychology and founding faculty director of the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley. And sorry about all those sound effects. You know, it was taken from a YouTube channel video. So thus all those extra sound effects. But I mean, wasn't that interesting? The brain really cares about other people. I mean, and you know, this whole notion of kindness has made headlines recently. It was a key part of former President Barack Obama's eulogy of veteran US Democrat Elijah Cummings following his death last month. And Obama said this, quote, unquote, being a strong man includes being kind. There's nothing weak about kindness and compassion. There's nothing weak about looking out for others. And you're not a sucker to have integrity and to treat others with respect. I think this is, you know, what you mentioned earlier, Sue-Ann. You know, it's not a sign of weakness. Mm. Yeah.
And UCLA has a Bidari Kindness Institute, which has been researching several projects on kindness. This includes anthropologists examining how kindness spreads between people, sociologists analyzing how those who behave unkindly could actually be persuaded to be kind, and even psychologists researching how kindness can improve mood and reduce depression symptoms. So in an article in the BBC, Daniel Fessler, who's the Institute's inaugural director, said that the sort of research was needed that they do at Bidari Institute was needed, quote, to understand why kindness can be so scarce in this modern world and to bridge the divide between science and spirituality.
So he spoke about bad stress, the kind where you can't do anything about a challenging situation, as opposed to the good stress from challenging but satisfying activities like rock climbing, for instance. And he said, living with people who treat you at best with disregard or a lack of concern concern, and at worst with open hostility, is bad for you. It shortens your life quite literally. Conversely, both receiving kindness from others and providing kindness, both of those things are the antithesis of this toxic stress situation, and they're good for you.
And even seemingly trivial interactions, like when you're at a cafe and a barista is smiling at you and asking how your day is going, mm-hmm. that can improve your well-being as well. And I think it really does make you feel better. I mean, you go and get a coffee and the coffee is to brighten up your day, but you also have a very... You also have a very nice barista who's engaging in conversation with you, who's, you know, asking you about your day, and then you're asking them back if they're having a good day. And it's just like a very nice moment of kindness. Mm-hmm. And Daniel Fessler also says that in engaging in kindness, contemplating how you can be kind to others, that helps to lower your blood pressure. It has therapeutic benefits for treating depression and anxiety.
And another researcher, Columbia University Dr. Kelly Harding, she's also been examining the phenomenon in her recent book, which is called The Rabbit Effect. She says that it helps the immune system, blood pressure, and it helps people to live longer and better. Can you imagine that? Just being kind. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty amazing. Because there's an ample supply and you can't overdose on it. And it's just right there, you know, free supply, as I said. And explaining the title of her book, she says, quote unquote, "I heard about this study of rabbits back in the 1970s, and one set had better outcomes and they wanted to find out what was going on. And it turned out that the rabbits doing better were under the care of one really kind researcher." Mm. That's fascinating. And kindness, she says, can turn a lot around and help people navigate things in their worlds. And she also said that it's often easier to be kind to others than to ourselves.
Ah, yes, isn't it?
That perennial problem.
A recent study reported on how people felt after performing or observing kind acts every day for 7 days. So participants were randomly assigned to carry out at least one more kind act than they would usually do for someone close to them, or it could even be an acquaintance or even a stranger, or even themselves, or to try to actively observe kind acts that were happening around them. And then happiness was measured before and after the 7 days of kindness. And the researchers actually found that being kind to ourselves or even to anyone else, and yes, this includes a stranger, or just actively observing kindness around you, that boosts happiness.
Just talking about kindness, I've seen both of you, your spirits lift as well.
Yes, that might have also been the mention of coffee, but no, mostly kindness.
And being kind may just be the perfect antidote, you know, in the midst of this current world, you know, with the horrible politics, with violence, the strife, you know, the impending climate apocalypse, if you want to call it that. And so I was actually curious what kindness means to you. But okay, so I'm going to let you think about your answer. But here are some responses from our colleagues here at BFM.
Well, what kindness means to me, I suppose it's lending a hand, you know, offering an ear to listen to when someone is at their lowest moments.
I think kindness to me is doing things for other people with no ulterior motive for yourself. So I guess that's sort of selflessness involved, but it's the idea that you don't have to be rewarded to do good things for people.
I think kindness can just, you know, make your whole day. I mean, the other day I got a letter in the mail, a handwritten letter from my friend who's living in the Netherlands right now. And it was just so nice. She said hello, asking how I was. And just to happen to hold that in my hand, just this act of kindness, something that she really didn't have to do. She could have just, you know, texted me or something. I think for me, that epitomizes that kind of the beauty of kindness.
Kindness to me means you are able to help someone despite your flaws and your shortcomings.
Kindness to me means like not just being kind to others, but I think also importantly yourself. We see like an increasing like rise in mental health awareness with depression and stuff like that. So, and a lot of these like is related to you beating up yourself over things. It might seem small to others, but it is big to you. But so like remember to remind yourself that it's okay to not be okay, you know, so be kind to yourself. So that's like one aspect of it, of course. Another like, and of course like that random act of kindness that you do from day to day, it can be like from anyone. So close to you or even some random stranger on the street. Like, even like, I don't know, helping someone point out like the directions to someone who's lost, that like, you know, I think made my day also, you know, because like kindness is also a form of giving, right? And you can only find fulfillment from giving, taking things away.
Kindness is when you put others before yourself. It is when you prioritize someone else's needs before yours.
To me, kindness is related to like love. So basically you make people happy, charity as well, and somehow helping others, lifting, making people smile and making people feel good. It's also a kindness.
Kindness is in acts of kindness. I remember walking down after dinner with an ex-presenter of BFM, and we passed a lady who was selling oranges, and I must admit, I kind of was involved in deep in conversation and ignored it. But this person turned around, stopped the conversation, and bought the oranges, and you know, and to this old lady. And I thought that was an amazing act of kindness, an act of kindness that you know, sort of recognized the lady's dignity, the seller's dignity, but still offered, you know, something to buy in exchange. So, you know, being able to stop, emit conversation, and do an act of kindness, I think that's something.
So that was a bunch of BFMers, you know, sharing what kindness means to them. And, you know, on social media, we're also asking you that.
Yeah, we were actually asking what the last kind thing you did was. And we got one rather amusing response from Jesselina, who said they were at the supermarket paying counter this morning with a full trolley. The guy behind me only had two items, so I let him move ahead. Alas, the system wrongly registered one item and we all ended up waiting. Does it still count if I regret it?
I have same experience, Jesselina. I let someone cut me yesterday, and then the person proceeded to drive very slowly and infuriate me. But so I don't know, does that still count?
Still kind. I mean, the initial attempt was kind, wasn't it?
I'm not sure anymore. I was really dreading that decision. But
wait,
you know.
Wait, let's go back to the part where we were all light and happy about being happy. Kind. Let's not the world weigh us down.
But I mean, what does kindness mean to the both of you?
I think kindness to me is a lot of it was reflected in what our colleagues were saying as well. Taking time out of your day and just giving a little bit of it to someone else in whatever way they might need it, whether it's to listen, whether it's just a cup of coffee, whether it's to be silly. And I often find that, and this is not for me to, this is not a way for me to say that I do kind things. Lots of people do kind things, right? But I got to thinking about when I'm kind. And one of the things that comes to mind is actually with children. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to ignore that you can, it can be difficult to spend time with children. I don't have children myself, so I spend time with my friends' children. And I think it's one of those times when it gets you to question, well, you can give them some of your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a nice and kind thing to do because it makes them feel valued. And I think that's important.
And it's all they want, actually. They just want that attention, and they're so happy when they get that attention. Yeah. Mm. What about you, Suwen?
Kindness, there's such a happy feeling associated with being kind, isn't it? Kindness is like saying hi to your neighbor when you see them outside instead of just ignoring them, pretending that you don't have neighbors.
I think we're getting an insight into Sue Ann's.
No, I say hi to all my neighbors.
I said neighborhood, I didn't say.
Kindness is also just checking in with an old friend, right? Messaging them every once in a while, saying, hi, how are you doing? Even if you end up not doing anything out of it, you don't meet up or anything, but at least you're still talking. Or kindness is just like saying hi to your close friends just once a day, checking in to see if they're doing well, if they're having a nice day, or just like, you know, checking if your colleague is feeling all right.
Yeah, I mean, somebody did a very kind thing for me yesterday. She bought me coffee and she's sitting right here, Sharmila, for me.
Thank you.
No reason whatsoever, she
you
bought
brought
me
together
coffee.
Both the kindness and coffee yet
there
again.
You go.
It's
you
always
go.
Coffee.
It's a common thread with us.
I think though that, what about you, Juliet, actually? What does kindness mean to you?
Simple acts that will make somebody smile. You know, I know there's no such thing. Maybe people say there's no such thing as altruism. Mm. But, you know, if you're doing something just because you know it's going to make someone feel good, I think that's kindness.
Yeah. And if it also has the added benefit of making yourself feel good, I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. No, there's that argument. But
and it's not just being kind to people, it's being kind to animals as
Feeding
a stray kitten or puppy that is in need of food, finding a home for another dog that needs to be adopted, or even just, you know, doing something for the planet.
Yeah, just patting a stray dog, you know, that really makes their day. So, I mean, not encouraged in case they might have things about diseases, but I mean, simple things, you know, smiling at a stranger, like that coffee, again, the barista at the coffee shop. You know, there's so many things, there's so many different ways. Letting a person cut you in heavy traffic.
So I think the thing that I found most interesting, and I don't think about it too much, but when we were talking about it earlier, is this association of niceness and kindness as somehow being a weak thing, right? And that does happen, right? Like, you're often told that don't let people take advantage of you.
You're too nice.
Don't be the sucker in the situation. Like, don't, you're too nice. And it can often wear you down and make you kind of very cynical about being, well, kind.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to sometimes celebrate something like World Kindness Day.
Yes, and I'm glad we're doing it. And I hope Malaysia gets part of that World Kindness Movement as well. There are some messages on social media.
Well, we had been asking you on Twitter what the last kind thing you did was. I suppose this isn't this was a response to the earlier tweet that we got about the person who gave up their space in a supermarket line. Xin Zhao replied to say, it does still count. It's just that the karma effects get lessened when you regret it.
I guess that goes for me in the traffic as well. Never mind. Well, you can always continue to share your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. And I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show.
May I just end it with someone who who texted in to say that there is no such thing as a selfish good deed.
Oh, that's very kind. That's a kind thing for you to say to us. So, okay, that is all the time that we have for today's show. You can look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture to drop us a message. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/daily digest, or you can look us up on the BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Sumitra Selvaraj will be speaking to Munira Hamid from the Patiwi Soup Kitchen and Sharon Lee of Tender Hearts Cafe about the specific challenges of running an F&B-based enterprise that are tied to social good. And they're going to be joined by Brian LaRiche, a CSR consultant, who's going to weigh in on how they can better manage their organization. So, yes, just reach out, everyone, and be kind to somebody. And on that note, here's this song by Diana Ross, Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.